What up, Buzz? You tapped in? Okay, Goose, you tapped in too? All right, Chicago, y'all tapped in? All right, boys, let's crack them.
Daddy, you ready to see?
Feel like Mike in the fourth with the ball in my hands and I'm taking a shot. I'm the king in the madhouse on Madison, whether I make it or not. Now the crowd going crazy, they watching the play and I'm watching the clock. Got my shot in the air and the buzzer go off and I'm watching it drop. This team did things, MJ, Shot City, six rings. D-Rose, too big, too fast, too strong, history. And we good on that, put Jilla on the track and we good on WAC. 3, 2, 1, everybody say Bulls on tap, Bulls on tap. Our city pretty and gritty. Benny the Bull in the crowd getting hyper and litty. Me, I'm so drippy and slippery, nothing offends me. Banners on banners, we winners. We got the stats in the news. Go and subscribe, hang out with Buzzy and Goose. Tapping with us, we the truth. Jilla just murdered the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz. I'm joined by my dude Goose. And it's a new setup for us because we're doing the weekly show now. It's our Wednesday show, and we originally planned on going live at 9 o'clock, 8:45, 9 o'clock. And it didn't happen that way because the Bulls went to double overtime tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers after they lost last night to the Detroit Pistons. Before we get into the whole episode, the whole spiel, and whatever the fuck we're going to talk about, be sure to go on tapsports.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs, following us on Twitter, X, whatever you call it, all socials, Bulls on Tap, on Tap Sportsnet, Goose on Tap, Buzz on Tap, 5-star rating and review anywhere you listen to podcasts because you can listen to us there. So we need that because that'd be great. Sports Illustrated Media Group is what we're presented by. Go to YouTube, subscribe to it. I did that all. I think I got it right. Goose, it's our new weekly show. It's what we're doing. And the Bulls give us something cool to talk about. He's gone immediately. So if you're not new to the show, if you're new to the show, he disappears a lot. I think he's haunted. I don't really understand why it happens, but it's something that happens. He'll pop back in here, but I will keep talking. So the Bulls come out tonight and they beat Cleveland after getting their ass kicked by Detroit the other night. Goose is back in the building. What happened, man?
I don't know. We used up all the camera time watching the end of the game together instead of doing the show. You know,
we used that
20-minute buffer. We used it all, and then it was ready to go and just disappeared.
I don't even pick things anymore.
We'll figure it out eventually because I really don't know. I've messed with that cord so many times and it's plugged in. I don't know what more I can
just
do.
It just doesn't like you, man.
Yeah, no, it doesn't like me. Maybe it's just stretched a little too far and then like I shake.
That's like my fandom of Chicago sports.
Stretched too far?
Yeah, that's understandable. It's hard, man. It's hard out here, you know. So I titled the episode
Lightings and New Perspectives.
Yes.
I saw that.
Okay, so, and I want to tell you why. I have clarity after not doing post-game shows. Yeah, after not doing post-game shows.
After not have to talking about the pain immediately after the pain happens,
I should not. I feel fucking brand new. I'm also still doing my juice. I'm drinking hydrogen water. So they got all that going. They put some more hydrogen in your water. It's a whole thing. Maybe they'll sponsor us. I'll show you later. But the new perspective and the silver linings thing, I'm telling you, dude, like I thought about it this week. So you know how I was all gung-ho, just trade everybody, fuck it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I took the time to think about it because we have to talk about it immediately after, like you pointed out before, when we do post-game shows. And I thought, you know what, DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic aren't going to be bad for this rebuild, I guess. They're two vets that try hard. DeMar's not going to want to – I mean, is DeMar going to go chase the ring? I don't know. I'm not sure. But he tries hard. Vuce – you know, he's been an all-star. He tries hard. You know, Kobe's not making a ton of money. You know, he's on a little slump right now as well. You know, it's not like there's a budding star in the wings. I guess a superstar, I should say. Because I think Kobe White could be a star. I feel all right now. I feel all right.
I feel like you're lying to me trying to lie to yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see why you'd say that, but no, you're wrong. I have told myself.
Well, we spent like 50 games just DEFCON 5, and now you've got half a week of not having to record two games in a post game. One which was a good victory against a hot New Orleans Pelicans team, and then one which was the second worst loss of the year, which was only probably worse than the first loss to the Pistons, where Zach put up 51 and we still didn't win the game.
It's a STEP program, man. Haven't you ever seen that shit? Yeah, it's like you admit that there's something wrong, and you have to accept. I'm in acceptance right now. I've already hit anger. I don't know what order my steps went in.
I think your steps are all out of order, and no, I think yeah. you're hitting denial Got at like step five instead of step one. Oh, you've already hit acceptance. Oh. And that's supposed to come like after denial, because like you get over what you're denying, like this team is trash. Well, we got over that like way early in the season, and now you're back in to like stage one of the grieving process, which is denial, because you're saying that you don't think that this team is trash.
So I'm borderline psychotic. That's what they did to me. Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah. That's what they did it to me. I used to be normal. Go back and watch old episodes of this show. I used to be somewhat normal. No, still no. Oh, that's
no, you're a liar.
All right, we're gonna get off. See everybody later. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding. I guess a little bit. Fuck, am I even?
No, I mean, are you wrong in the sense that they dug themselves so far into this hole that their best bet is to kind of just keep throwing mediocrity at this mediocre roster? Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Okay,
something's got to shake one way or another.
Oh well, again tonight. Yeah, was tonight a fun game? Sure, it was. Double overtime win. They come out. They were down. They almost lose the game after having a lead. They lose the lead. Cleveland goes ahead. They come back in the fourth. They do.
Billy asks DeMar to take a 3-point game tying shot again, and luckily we get a foul call.
I'll tell you something right now. That was the biggest play. I know we're not trying to do a post game, but that was the most puzzling thing of the night for me.
He does it every single time.
No, Billy Donovan not calling a timeout at the half court line when DeMar almost lost that ball.
Oh.
And trying to reset, because I mean, if these guys given you a reason to have fucking trust in them after losing the ball, to let them still run out a play as the clock is running down, not a shot clock, the game fucking clock. And he's got two timeouts and he didn't burn it. I'm like, what the fuck, Billy? Like, you know, and I usually try not to give him a ton of shit because he doesn't have a great roster and the premier players on the roster are all, you know, there's $82 million on the bench tonight. Lonzo and Zach aren't there, I don't think. But Pat Williams, Torrey Craig, and Alex Caruso are on the bench. And then, you know, Zach and Lonzo are off doing Los Angeles things.
Close to like $90 million.
That's fucking... Anyway, so like... It's not
Caruso's
like
birthday, though, so it's okay.
I'm glad they got a win for AC. AC deserves the win. You know who was in the building last night? The GOAT.
Kirk?
Kirk. Yeah, see, I can see why you say I was psychotic earlier. No, it's because like your face was like, yeah, you knew right away because you know I'm a moron that it was Kirk Heinrich. But yeah, he was there.
I
mean, and then
I was gonna say Joakim Noah, but when you said goat, it gave it away.
Well, he's one of them. I would call him a goat too. I'd call him a goat.
No, Noah's definitely a Bulls goat.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. But back to tonight, I was more excited watching the young guys get in goose because, like, if we're gonna have this style roster, I'd rather like seeing the young guys come in and compete. Is that it's more of a pleasurable watch, right?
If that's the clarity that you're alluding to, is that moments like this for somebody like OB or a couple of the moments that we had from Phillips tonight are more important? That if this franchise and coaching staff from top to bottom are going to accept the reality of this roster and be tryhards on the surface, but accept and push this developmental movement of this younger talent behind the scenes. Cool. By all means, if you're stealing minutes for these guys, and obviously we haven't seen OB play much outside of garbage time this year, and he starts in overtime. So
Simon's in overtime too.
Definitely a different level of trust. I don't know where it came from, as you were pointing out.
I'll tell you exactly where I think it came from, and not the level of trust, the level of I want to say fuck it-ness. I have to do something different because Daylon Terry played 9 minutes. He was not giving you anything, nothing. Terry Taylor, okay, whatever. Javon Carter tonight, dude. Like this guy isn't this bad. Like he's not, he is not this bad. Go back and watch Milwaukee film. There is no way. I know he plays next to Giannis there, but
He plays next to Giannis there, and when you give somebody consistent opportunity, you can't call a dude's number once every 10 games and expect him to do what he did in a consistent role for a championship-contending team. You've put him on this roster. You've buried him on this roster. Coming into the season, we knew we were too guard-heavy, and luckily Kobe and Io have both made their contracts look like steals and have really been the only saving grace for Acme so far this season. In terms of sticking with the plan and continuity and bringing back the same roster, because just about every other piece has declined in production, from DeMar to Vooch to Zach not even playing basketball this year, all across the board. I don't think he's getting enough consistent play. I don't think Javon Carter's that bad, but I think when you sit down and you don't have to work for that long and then somebody goes, hey, go do your job, you're like, oh.
I love how you said that, because I agree to a certain extent. So where you now I'm lost now is when you forget the basic fundamentals of the fucking game.
Oh, like and the layup?
Like the layup that he kicked. No one's there. Your team's down. No one's there. Get the two fucking points in there. Okay, get back on defense and fucking hustle. And hey, they did that all night too. They had 74 fucking rebounds tonight. The Bulls had 74 rebounds tonight.
So 39 for the Cavs, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Cavs had 37 assists. The Bulls only had 29. But, listen, I'm not going to talk about the Detroit game. They fucking – actually, we are, because it's a weekly show now. We'll get into that in a minute. But what a rebound game. And OB getting the minutes that he got and doing what he did off the bench. He had 27 fucking minutes, dude. He had a couple
of big – obviously, Torrey Craig's out. Obviously, Caruso is out.
Well, that's why Billy, I think, put in OB, is because Javon Carter looked like dog shit. Daylon Terry couldn't do it. And
on a back-to-back. So right. You had to steal minutes for somebody.
Right.
And OB came out and he actually played hard on both ends and provided a skill that we don't really have, which is floor spacing.
Yeah, I mean, he hit two threes out of two attempts. He hit his two free throws in a pretty, not a big moment. The game was kind of iced, but still, you got to put points on the board at the end of overtime just to cushion that lead, and he did that. He went 3 for 4 tonight. It's a plus 13 in the plus minus. He was only behind Kobe White in that category. He had 10 points and 6 boards.
So, wow, Kobe struggled as mightily as he did from the field, 5 of 20.
He was unbelievable defensively. Even plus minus. Yeah, he was unbelievable defensively tonight. Garland had a hard time out with him. He had a hard time with Garland. But when he was switched on to Mitchell too, I felt like Kobe stayed ahead of him. And like I was telling you before we came on the air, I felt like OB stayed in front of Mitchell real well, because he struggled tonight as well. I guess I shouldn't really say struggle. He was 5 for 13. He was 4 for 9 from downtown. He had 19 points. He really turned it on in the overtime.
Just the lack of attempts there, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I was getting a very interesting conundrum there, because their team did seem to play better when Garland and Mobley were out.
That's very true. But I mean,
and when you're getting out rebounded the way that they just got out rebounded,
which is so surprising,
with Jared Allen and Mobley on the floor together, that's kind of bizarre.
11 and 4 for Jared Allen. They only have 4 boards, 34 minutes for him.
Didn't Drummond have like 25 boards?
26. Yeah, so 17 points, Cavs, 26 boards.
The Cavs had 13 total more rebounds than DeAndre Drummond.
Him and fucking Vooch had, he had 3 blocks. Vooch had 5 blocks. The whole starting lineup recorded a block. Okay. They did. The whole fucking starting lineup recorded a block.
That is definitely a fun stat.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool stat.
And Kobe still flirted with a triple-double despite the fact that he
12 assists.
Shot so poorly from the field.
Yeah, but he was effective elsewhere with the shot not working. I mean, we have seen Kobe White's offensive output.
Because Roy Williams was in the building. And usually when Roy Williams is in the building, Kobe goes off on a scorcher.
The Kobe White is being targeted now.
Definitely the case.
The defense on Kobe White is a lot different now. When he used to move without the ball, he'd come off screens clean.
I feel like most of the night I saw Isaac Okoro with Kobe as his primary.
And that's a bitch, because that's Okoro's thing. That's what he does. Yeah,
that's Okoro's thing, and the fact that he's actually become a viable offensive option makes me hate the fact that we drafted Patrick Williams even more. But, that's another topic.
I remember when people were doing dunks on you about that?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. How quickly things fucking change, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty funny. I'd like to have Isaac Okoro about now.
I'd like to have Tyrese Halliburton right about now.
Yeah, but, yeah. Yeah, no, hindsight sucks.
Yeah, hindsight does suck. So, yeah, we're talking about the win now if you're just joining us live here on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook. So let's talk about the loss and what that did. I don't feel like I feel like the Bulls came out tonight and want to make a statement especially with Vooch and DeMar. They look pretty hyped. We saw a lot of personality out of both of them tonight, and this is after losing to a 8-win, who then became a 9-win Detroit Piston team, where they
more than 20% of that team's wins this year have come against the Bulls.
Yeah, that's unexcusable. Inexcusable. We lose Caruso in that game. He wanted to play tonight, reportedly against the Cavs. It didn't work out that way. I feel like this is they kept saying a wake up call game. We know what this team is. They're wildly inconsistent, which is why I'm so excited after watching a triple overtime game where I got to see Julian Phillips play more than 8 minutes, and I got to see another guy we wanted to see play more than 27. We know what the main roster is, so this kind of gives us new content to talk about when you watch these young guys come in and give you something that kind of ignites. Essentially, what did you see compared to the Detroit game? I saw the old heads trying to bring us back in the Detroit game. When I say old heads, my age type of guys, DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic, trying to get us back. Vooch has a huge game in it. DeRozan's trying to hit shots. He has a big game against Detroit. And then I see tonight with Io and Kobe kind of taking big-time leads in this game for the young guys, Julian Phillips and OB, to kind of take note of. And then having the – I guess this is the new perspectives part – and then having, the vets like DeMar and Vooch be there to bail you out when you can't get it going yourself. And I feel like
Vooch got himself held out, so we had to rely on
Andre. Yeah, but I mean, he played a great fucking game. I didn't give him flowers. But that's a problem now, though. If Vooch is leading you in scoring at a certain extent, at a certain point of the game, you're probably in a tight game or you're going to lose it. Because that's just where you're at now. That's what this league is, really.
You can't.
Especially when you don't shoot enough threes. I mean, they hit 2 threes against the Pistons on Wednesday night. They hit – how many they hit tonight, Goose? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember off the top of my head how many they hit tonight, but I know it wasn't a
13
record-setting low, which is 13. Generally a good approach to winning a game, is not setting record lows for shooting numbers.
Well, you'd think, right?
You'd think. I mean, generally, not a bad approach.
But I'm glad to see that, again, tying it all in together in the two bad losses. Funny Zion lost to us on Sunday, too. Anyway, tied into the most recent two losses, I feel like I'm glad I'm getting to see a jump from Io Desumu. I'm getting to see a jump from Kobe White. And if they can bring another couple guys along with them that are not going to make obviously sizable jumps like they have, but maybe to show you they can play in a rotation.
Unfortunately, we're without Pat for the rest of the season. So
seeing
that kind of jump and fit from him is simply not going to happen.
I'm upset for the kid, and I'm not a big fan.
No, I am. I am upset for the kid, and obviously, from the Bulls' standpoint, it's not positive because you don't get to finish evaluating him before giving him a contract. But neither does anybody else. So from that standpoint, you do kind of go into the off season with the opportunity to get Patrick Williams on a team friendly deal, due to his somewhat inconsistent availability with injuries during his rookie contract.
I mean, you really have nothing to lose if you can get him. Like you said, if you can get him for cheap, it's not like I don't want you situation. It's like, all right, dude, you signed for X amount of dollars. That's not
you signed for something team friendly under $12 million. I think you're
a
two-way player that's worth keeping. And at this point with this roster, we can't lose young talent that has an increment of potential. And Pat has at the very least showed the skills and the physical tools to be the kind of player that you hope to get in the top five of the draft. Unfortunately, the mindset and the consistency just haven't followed through to this point. But we've seen giving up on Lauri Markkanen did not pay off very well for this team. Fans wanting to give up on Io in this previous offseason and Kobe in previous offseasons. They didn't
want to give up on Io like fucking a month and a half ago.
So there's still time to turn it around. I'm not going to ride the Patrick Williams is still young train for too much longer, but at least in terms of his season ending prematurely, looking into the offseason and what his contract probably projects to be with this unfortunate scenario, it does seem like he should probably be here. I can't see a team outbidding the Bulls for him given how his season has ended. So I guess we'll see how that plays out. But to your point, maybe some Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips. Yeah. Can we bring one of these other guys along that's on a team-friendly deal that you can kind of build around in terms of rotation? Obviously, no superstar talent here. Those placeholders are being held by our B-list once all-stars DeMar and Vooch.
See that, and you know, that's another tough thing about everything too, is like, but I think the writing's been on the wall for a while with, you know, DeMar saying that he wants to come back and the front office talking so glowingly about him that he's going to end up coming back. And you're saying like, you know, you was just saying like, how about the Bulls don't have a superstar? The bad part is like, this team is just good enough to not get the pick that you want. You know, and but obviously
they're also bad enough to leave you in the lottery to have a chance at getting the pick that you want. So it's this very weird business-friendly double dip for a franchise who has lived off of a legacy created by the greatest basketball player ever and still leads the league in attendance with this piss-poor roster that is just mediocre enough to be in the play-in.
What do you think about the Lonzo Ball news that came out today after last
year? He still can't sprint?
Yes.
He has 1 year left on his deal. The Bulls do not project to be good at basketball next year anyway. I'm not reading too much into it. At this point, I've kind of already got through the denial, the acceptance. We're done grieving over Lonzo Ball. He's dead salary cap at this point. It's unfortunate the Bulls didn't use the $10 million exception they were granted this season for him being out for the full year to try to improve this roster, especially with the remainder of the injuries that they've encountered. Obviously, could have got a decent player at that price point. But the news itself about Zoe, I'm heartbroken for him.
Yeah.
It sucks for him, especially when you've built your whole life around something like
this. Yeah, like around the game. Like, it's like the human aspect of it's what kind of got me when I saw he couldn't run.
Financially, Zoe's going to be fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
His family had money growing up. His family's going to have money till the day he dies. So that aspect, obviously, there's not sympathy there.
Oh, I think it's just regard.
No, he's by all means, he's always been a consummate professional, right. Loves the game, and to have something that you love taken away from you without a choice or a say in it just simply isn't fair. So as a fan, you kind of have to remove yourself from the selfish point of view here and just look at it from the standpoint of being in Zoe's shoes. And whether he's making $20 million a year or not right now, it is not fair that his livelihood and his career, his passion has been taken away from him and may never be the same again. So best of luck to him continuing this recovery. Obviously, the odds of a NBA return were slim to none going into it. But hopefully we get something positive going into the offseason. The only silver lining there would be he wasn't expected to play. So not getting positive news isn't necessarily negative news. It's just unfortunate to hear at this point that he's still having discomfort to that.
Yeah, it's just so wild, man. He's played since 2022, you know? It's just fucking wild how all that kind of transpired and went down. And then you had those reports that, hey, man, he's feeling good, you know, it's good. And then now he can't sprint. And it's just like, fuck.
It was
like,
weird,
were they specific about it? Did they say, like,
they said full sprint, because we have seen him on, obviously, like the therapeutic treadmills since, which was where fans started getting excited. Like, hey, maybe he will be back next year. And I have to say, I finally bought 2K, and it really hurts my feelings when I put myself on the Bulls for my player, and Lonzo Ball is healthy and playing
basketball. You do the my player thing?
I mean, occasionally. I haven't bought a 2K game in about 5 years.
All right,
so I bought it recently, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. But more so, it was on sale, and I was like, you know, it's a trade.
That's how I bought
Let's rebuild the Bulls roster here. So we'll get to that kind of fun stuff. But, no, yes, if you go into my player, Lonzo Ball is healthy, and he plays basketball, and it makes you want to cry. I got to play basketball with Lonzo Ball.
That's cool, dude. That's cool.
Yeah.
We only got to do that for 35 games as fans with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very sad.
Sorry, 2K is giving me the dream back, Buzz. Lonzo can sprint in 2K.
He sure the fuck can. He drain threes like a motherfucker too, no doubt about it. All right, a couple more notes that I want to touch on real quick here. Something controversial that had come up. I guess I wouldn't say like super controversial or whatever, but somewhat is like the most improved player thing. I have Kobe locked, don't you?
I mean, obviously recency bias with his struggles the last few games are going to have it swaying in a different direction at the moment. But overall for the season, it's not a stretch award. It's not a weekly award. It's not a monthly award. In terms of overall production increase, I don't see who's really putting the pressure on Kobe here, but he does have to obviously bounce back to kind of retain that perception.
We've talked before, but the odds have changed. So as of 3 days ago, Tyrese Maxey is still a favorite at minus 240.
It is the stupidest thing ever. He's not the most improved player. Just because James Harden is now off the roster, everybody's already talking about him. He's the whole reason why James Harden was allowed to be let go from the roster. Like, knock it off. Don't play dumb. You can't give somebody an award just because, no, knock it off.
Kobe's at second at 4-1 odds. Jonathan Kuminga, 13-1 odds.
No,
Jalen Williams from OKC.
The Bulls could have had two most improved player candidates.
That would have been real nice.
For the guy who didn't play basketball again tonight. It's his birthday. I should stop.
You should.
I should, but I'm not going to because he could have traded Alex Caruso for something worthwhile. But no.
They could have.
Watch him play every other game.
No, not at the deadline. The
season on a mediocre team.
Should have been before the season. It's when they should have fucking done it.
Could have done it whenever.
Couldn't have done it at the deadline. They didn't want it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, because they sat on their fucking hands. See, now
we're going back. We're going back. Yep. Can't do that.
Can't do it. Show. New perspectives.
New perspectives and silver linings.
Jalen Williams 16-1 and Sengun 16-1. So I mean that's fair outside of Maxey to me.
Yeah. No. And fair outside of Maxey means that Kobe's taking home the award. So. Knock off the nonsense. Tyrese Maxey was already a great basketball player before this year. I don't think you should be able to take an award away from somebody who's made the step from inconsistent role in the NBA to star caliber potential kind of player. Obviously, if the Bulls had a little bit more team success, it would help Kobe as well. But we'll see how the rest of the season plays out there. But seeing Tyrese Maxey take home that award would hurt me about as much as seeing Zach LaVine go to the Lakers for a bag of chips would have done to me. So it's kind of same team.
Bulls are 23-17 since their 5-14 start. That's from our friend Ricky O'Donnell over at SBN. They're playing at a 47.5 win pace. DeMar and Kobe are 1-2 in the league in total minutes and played a combined 99 minutes tonight.
Wow.
He kind of gave a little credit. He said, remarkable resilience by this roster if you pretend the front office and ownership don't exist. I love the ending of that tweet. That's fantastic. So, he makes a point that since the terrible start, the Bulls have turned it around.
How much is that the absence of Zach LaVine? Did that just remove that much drama? Because it's not a talent issue.
It's what I told you at the time, brother. He is a non-factor in winning basketball with the way that he plays the game. And people want to cancel me when I say it. I've seen it on Twitter, but it's just the fucking truth. He can come out and score you 50 one night, and you're gonna lose.
We lost to the Detroit Pistons when he scored 51 points.
So we lost to Detroit when he scored 51 points. Or if he scores you your 25 points alongside, when Vooch is killing it and DeMar is killing it, he just fits right in. That's why he does not impact what he's doing. It's empty calories. And he's not one of my top five favorite Bulls. You'll back me on that. I like Zach. He could score it. I think he could be more than he was. But at this point, I'm cashed out on that, dude.
OB's got Zach's roster spot.
Sure, he looks like he wants to show up to work every day. How embarrassing! Like, they had to open the door back for him to come around because he overvalued himself, and they couldn't find anything for him.
Yeah, I get it. And then he had a season-ending injury, surgery to avoid getting traded to Detroit.
At this point, like I said, I wish him the best. I hope he recovers. I hope he comes back to be his 25-5 itself and, get maybe another all-star, which I doubt happens in his career again.
So you're calling it now. Zach LaVine never makes another all-star game.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, that's fair. He was kind of the face of a historic franchise here in Chicago,
right?
Which gave him some increased odds, and once he got a good enough team, He snuck in there a couple of times.
That's where I'm actually the most interested to see him play. If we're going to fucking just shop talk for a minute, I'm most interested to see him play on a badass fucking team. But his contract is so astronomical. And all and what they're coming out with.
Yeah, no,
$41 million a year.
The fact that you couldn't get Golden State to bite for like Chris Paul and Andrew Wiggins or something like that is kind of scary. That really your only option was like Bojan and Joe Harris. And
I would have taken that too.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and obviously the Bulls probably would have too until Zach decided to have surgery, which for me, I guess with the Pistons didn't make sense to me why that mattered anyway. Like, oh, cool, you don't want to play this year? We'll take a good draft pick and we'll still have you next year. Thank you.
Right. I don't want to just shit on him, but I do think a lot has to do with it. I think that Zach had a piss poor attitude this year. And listen, he kind of had the right to have one. I'm not, he came in and they didn't change the roster. It's been the same thing. They lose in a play-in. They know they're not good enough on paper to do it. I could see him being frustrated, but unfortunately for him, obviously you wouldn't have turned down the money. I wouldn't have turned down the money. Everybody says that when we talk about these kind of things, and they're right. But you are the guy. That is how you touted yourself. That is how you wanted to be. You wanted to be the guy, and you didn't come through. And that's why I respect his loss.
A franchise decided to try to build a roster around you, and the players they acquired to help you kind of overtook your roster. And when you were removed from the roster, somebody filled your shoes very quickly in Coby White in terms of the 25, 5-5 status. So I guess his value has been somewhat replaced and seen out of this roster in this situation. And there's days and games where I forget that Zach LaVine's even a member of the team at this point. So I guess I can understand that. I just don't know what that means for the offseason because
it's going to be a very odd offseason, I think. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah, DeMar's going to go ring chasing, and we're going to be stuck with Vucevic as our rebuilding piece.
If they can go sign like some, I'm going to have to go look at the free agent pool, but if they can go sign like, you know, a couple of
vets. To a team that's got cap space, though, it's not like you're really going to have much to work with. You're going to pay Zoe again next year, too.
Oh, yeah, right. But you can go get like a vet on a cheap deal, give you some minutes, start maybe, spot start. I mean, you have some people over there. But I think DeMar's ultimately back.
You think DeMar? I don't think DeMar's back.
You don't think he's coming back?
I think DeMar and DeAndre Drummond.
You don't think they give him a 2-year extension?
No.
No? Yep. I think he's coming back. I mean, I don't want him to come back. And that's not because I don't love him. I think he's a great player. I think he's a good
360 layup he had the other night. I don't know. I was getting something that beautiful.
He's got all the talent in the world, dude. I mean, I just, like I said, he's at the end of his rope. And I mean, I tell you what, 30, he's leading the league in minutes, bro.
That's insane.
It is insane. That's fucking nuts. All right, let's take a look forward here. So the Bulls will play the Bucks on. Why the fuck does that game start at 9 p.m. at the United Center? Why?
Is it on primetime?
Yeah, it's on ESPN.
Okay, well, that's why.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, we don't have to do post games anymore, but man, I got to work all Friday, then bring the kids to dance, and the fucking game don't start till 9. I'll be cashed out before it starts.
Well, I mean, you'll also at least be home and unwinded and all that stuff, and the kids will probably be in bed. And it's Friday, so you can get your buzz on because we don't have to record.
I don't drink Monday through Friday.
But it's Friday night into Saturday.
I know, dude.
So you only drink on Saturday night? I mean, I haven't had a drink in 6 months, so I'm not
Saturday really... Saturday and Sunday.
But I feel like you should switch that to Friday and Saturday because
I don't want to. I'm too tired, dude. I'm too tired. I just fucking fall asleep over there, you know.
But you'd rather be hungover for Monday?
Fuck, I don't get hungover, dude. I'm pro.
You probably do now that you only drink once a week.
I haven't pushed it to the limit yet, so I'm going to have to do that and let you know how it turns out.
Yeah. That sounds like risky business to me, buddy.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'll give it a shot and I'll let you know how it goes. All right, so West Coast next week. All the games are fucking late.
It's a good thing we decided to go to the new format now.
Right, absolutely, because we would have missed a ton. So, yeah, they had the Bucks on the first, the Kings on the fourth, the Jazz on the sixth, and the Warriors on the seventh. So they're playing a bunch of playoff teams. It's a pretty big stretch here.
So enjoy the high for the next few hours and day or so, because it's going to come to an end rather quickly.
Hey, man.
The competitive Bulls just put on their 50-50 competitive little stretch here while dropping a game to the Pistons, and now we're going to go lose to good basketball teams again.
No, I think that might happen. They just updated the stats, too, for tonight's game. Kobe and OB were actually tied for the best in plus-minus and plus 16 apiece.
Okay.
28 minutes for OB. So I'm really happy with that. I think that he played great, so give him a little bit of his flowers there. You know, Goose, we did about 35 minutes for our, you know, first weekly part of this show. Do you have any parting words?
No, get out of here. Just play some competitive basketball. I guess let's try to steal OB and Phillips some more minutes here. Dalen Terry, if you see fit as well. I do think in terms of an energy standpoint, he does make an impact at times.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But at this point of the season, I'm not hoping for playing. I don't care if we make the 10th seed or not. That's something that I'm not going to get excited for one way or another. I want to see positive moments from guys that might be on this team next season, and that's about it. Vooch,
it's such cool. A low bar.
It is a low bar, but that is the position that this ownership and front office has put us in, is that they've showed their hand. They're extremely content with where they are, and as long as those seats are filled, they will put whatever product is here on the floor that costs them minimal and extra money. So we'll see how this roster shakes out in the offseason. For the remainder of the season, what matters is Coby White getting back to the level that he was playing at, Io continuing to prove that he can do this consistently, and as you said earlier, one of these other young guys kind of getting dragged along with them to provide some hope moving forward, to put a decent rotation of young guys together, maybe around some veterans and DeMar returning. But biggest storyline for this team has to be the young talent showing promise in this league.
That's all we have to hang our hat on, Goose. That's all we have to hang our hat on right now, is the young guys showing some fucking talent to get us through, because Lord knows we're not going anywhere high. So, you know, we got to stay even and give us something to cheer for. Give us something to be happy about. Improvements with the young players. Billy finally fucking breaking out of whatever he's trying to do and shaking it up.
Silver linings, baby. Silver linings.
It's fucking happening. We'll be live next Wednesday at Bulls on Tap. In the beginning of the episode, I told you where to follow us. I'm not going to do it at the end anymore. Let's go, Bulls. Or tank. We don't care.